Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Reno and Stevie Nichols. Julian Laurent will be with us shortly as we kick things off in the Europa League. Arsenal against Olympiacos. What a dramatic ending to this game. Remember Arsenal with that 1-0 win in Greece? They looked set, didn't they, to make it through. However, Olympiacos would cancel that out in the second half of this game. Cissé with the goal after David Luiz was caught ball watching. That would take us into extra time. A brilliant goal from Aubameyang. A fantastic scissor kick would make it 1-1 on the night, 2-1 on aggregate. Looked like that would be enough. But then Arabi, in the last minute of extra time, would score. That would see Olympiacos go through on the away goal rule. By the way, the late chance for Aubameyang, who you would put your house on in scoring, however he puts it wide. So Arsenal out of the Europa League. We'll talk to the boys in the studio at the moment. Let's start, shall we, with Julian Laurent. Jules, we know a big heart, piece of your heart is with PSG. Some of it, though, is reserved for Arsenal. You must be gutted.
Yeah, I think it's a tough night to take for the Arsenal fans. The way it happened, obviously, with the late goal for Olympiacos and that huge miss by Aubameyang in the last minute of at the time of extra time. But also, let's be honest, it was a poor performance. I think the attitude was not right. They looked a bit complacent. They had no shot on target for the first 75 minutes of that game. So in the end, it's a harsh defeat and it's a harsh elimination. But also on the night tonight, they were just off their game too much.
Who do you blame more, Stevie? Aubameyang for that late miss or David Luiz and his defending?
That's a tough one. I think at the end of the day, we all make mistakes as players. And the better players learn from the mistakes.
Right.
And what David Luiz didn't do is he didn't learn from his first mistake with the first goal. Because when you're in a zone, regardless of the opposition, when the ball comes in your area, you have to attack the ball. He didn't do it. And he didn't learn because the ball's flung in again at the end of the game and he didn't attack it. So I'd have to say absolutely David Luiz.
It's an ongoing issue with Arsenal, defending set pieces. It's a problem area for them. And Aubameyang scores a great goal. And even after all the struggles that you've had in this game, he scores that great goal, and now you're through.
Yeah.
All you have to see is the last 2 minutes of the match, and then that's it. You're going on to the next round. It wasn't pretty. It must have been a learning experience for Arsenal. That's the way that Arteta would have spun this whole story. But you're not able to defend properly in a set piece, and then see you guys later. Take care. Here's the other thing I would say about Arsenal. For whatever reason, they thought that after winning the first game, the first leg, 1-0, that it was all done. That's the way they approached this game, as if they had already advanced. The truth of the matter is that where Arsenal is right now, they're not good enough to be complacent. They're not good enough to lack energy. They're not good enough to just be a team that is just going to show up and just say, no, we're just going to play around and we'll see our way through to the next round. They're not good enough to be doing that. The players know that, but the problem is that they cannot find any sort of consistency with their level of play. One day they look good, the next day they don't look so good. One half they look okay, then the next half they look terrible. But the one thing that they've been consistent about is poor in defending set pieces.
Stevie, I'll tell you, after the game, lambasting his defence, 4 goals conceded in the last 2 matches from set pieces. Surely this is something you can work on in the training ground, isn't it? I know that we've talked about the personnel that Arsenal have and that it's not good enough. But surely this is something you can actually physically help with on a day-to-day training.
You can work on the training field all day, every day, 7 days a week. But if you have players who don't get it, and they'll tell you they get it, but then they step on the field and continue to make the same mistakes, and that's exactly what Arsenal have been doing for the last 2 or 3 seasons, defensively. So there comes a time, and I've been saying it all year long, there comes a time when it's not about the tactics or the coach, it's about the personnel. And David Luiz in particular has shown that time and time again, he's making mistakes as a centre-back, and it's costing his team. And until there's a change, until David Luiz is moved out of that position and a better player's put in, as you asked me, you can work all day long on the training field, but if you've got players who can't do the job, it isn't changing.
Jules, big picture, how big is this defeat for Arsenal, considering you could put up an argument this was a great chance for them to qualify for the Champions League?
Yeah, it's a huge blow because of that, obviously, because that was Maybe not the easiest way, because they can still finish fifth. Let's say if Man City are banned for next season's Champions League, they're only 4 points behind. But you would fancy them in that competition. So that's a huge blow. It's a huge blow for Mikel Arteta as well, because it's a proper step back of what he's been trying to do, and the results have been okay since he took over. There's been some improvement on the field going forward, especially attacking wise. Defensively, still the same issues, and he hasn't addressed them well enough at the moment, and they haven't improved enough. But for him, it would be a proper setback. And I think this is the issue tonight. Psychologically, they go again on Monday night in the FA Cup. But that's a hell of a tricky game away from home, against a team that would have nothing to lose in a cup game in a hostile environment, against a team that is playing really well in the lower leagues, but also a team that would love that cup game and love trying to put more pressure on Arsenal, especially after tonight. So the next few games will be very important for the way Arteta tried to get his players back on track for Monday night's game.
Yeah, taking on Ian Dark's beloved Portsmouth. Let's just confirm, shall we, some of the other games. I tell you, a lot of drama across Europe today. Very good for the visitors. Obviously, Olympiacos. Wolves pretty much had it sealed, didn't they, in the first leg. They go through, no problems for Basel. Bayer Leverkusen continued the German club's great form in Europe over the last couple of weeks. Roma through, Sevilla through as well. Manchester United, an easy home victory against Club Brugge. See Solskjaer's side through. Inter are through as well. Celtic, though, out. A couple of late goals for Copenhagen, meaning that the Scottish champions will go no further in Europe. Getafe advanced as well after a good first leg against Ajax. All about Manchester City's win against Real Madrid in the press in England and Spain today. Bernard Blue sums up England. Meanwhile, in Spain, se derrumbó.
It collapsed.
Derrumbó. The collapse. That's the Madrid-based newspaper Marca. Meanwhile, in Catalonia, Barcelona, Mundo Deportivo says Philly City, happy city. Stevie, you went, of course, with us yesterday. I'm intrigued to get your view on this game.
I'll tell you what, I was impressed. Absolutely. You know, how many teams go to the Bernabeu and basically walk out the door deserved winners?
Yep.
You know, at 1-0, I was thinking, how come Courtois comes up with two saves when he hasn't made a save for goodness knows how long? And no surprise, a mistake defensively, not getting outplayed or cut open, a defensive mistake by City, I think, is going to cost them the game. But I'll tell you what, they absolutely, from that point on, passed the ball all around Real Madrid and deservedly won this game.
Now, I'm intrigued to get your view. Was this a masterclass from Pep, or was it just that Manchester City have better players?
Do you know, I think unfortunately we've forgotten how good Manchester City are just because of how good Liverpool have been. You know, a couple of years ago we were waxing lyrical about how fantastic this team is and this squad is. And it hasn't changed that much. And what they've done is they've put a performance together.
But would they have not won by more if they put out their first choice team? If Kun Aguero was up top, if Sterling, you know, if it was familiar, if Gabriel Jesus wasn't playing on the left?
Conventional wisdom would say you play your best players. But Pep came up with a tactic of the front three, particularly Jesus, starting in a wide position. And you can't argue. It worked, no question. It took away the fact that the only place they could go was to try and hit the centre forward. Ramos in particular and Varane love to come and win balls.
Right.
And they couldn't get in the game and they didn't have the opportunity. Everything was down the sides and it was all about pace. And that's what they had, pace. So you've got to say, Pep absolutely 100% got this spot on tactically.
Jules, do you agree?
Yes, completely. I thought the tactical plan from Pep worked perfectly, targeting Carvajal defensively, who was the weakest link, really, in that Madrid defence. First with Gabriel Jesus, then with Raheem Sterling as well, who obviously had a big impact. Almost letting Casemiro, not putting too much pressure on Casemiro, at least for most of the game, because he couldn't do much with the ball because there was not many options for him either. And then playing Kevin De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva as force number nine, especially De Bruyne in that central position, worked so well for them as well. So on you have to say that in the tactical battle between Zidane and Pep, Pep won it quite easily.
We asked you to give us player ratings for both sides. We'll start with Manchester City. Jules, you mentioned it there, Kevin De Bruyne, the star of the show for you.
Yeah, yes, definitely a goal and an assist as well, taking that penalty under a lot of pressure, especially considering the latest records of City in penalty takers. But he buried that one really well. Kyle Walker, obviously, I thought on the Isco goal, and Otamendi as well. But I thought overall, Jesus and De Bruyne played so well, they deserve the highest rating. Then they controlled quite well in midfield. And Bernardo Silva maybe didn't do much with the ball, but I think his movements caused a lot of problems to Varane and Ramos, especially because it was always hard to pick him up.
How good's De Bruyne, Stevie?
Well, he walks into any team on the planet. That's how good he is. Is there somebody, you take Ronaldo and Messi out of the equation, is there somebody you want before him today? I don't think there is.
Mbappe?
I don't think there is. I think the influence that he had, and he not only is in this game, but for the last, 18 months, has been absolutely incredible. Mbappe may be a great player. But Mbappe has been playing in the French league.
Wait. If you want to make an argument for De Bruyne, fine. But don't make an argument against Mbappe. Don't punish Mbappe.
I just told you Mbappe's a great player. I just told let me finish. I'm going to say not only the influence he had in this game. How many times has anybody gone in to Real Madrid's home and dominated the game from start to finish? That's what he did.
Wait a minute. We're talking as if Mbappe didn't win the World Cup and was the most outstanding player for France tournament.
When was this? When did he win the World Cup?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. All right. So I'll tell you what. There was a lot of good players 2 years ago. We're talking about today.
Okay. Really?
We're talking today. And by the way, the difference is...
You're right. I'm not going to argue with you
because you're being sarcastic.
Right.
No, because you're trying.
If you're going to make an argument for De Bruyne,
but don't make an argument
against Mbappe. What did Mbappe do to just forget about him? Let me ask you a question.
Did you throw Mbappe out to say no, Mbappe's better? Because that's the way it took it.
Yeah, I think Mbappe's better, and I think Lewandowski's
better.
Well,
that's fine. You can have your opinion.
Okay,
but don't poo on mine just because you don't agree with it.
I didn't poo-poo on yours.
Well, you did. Your tone was completely
poo-poo. Oh, you didn't like my tone.
As if I was talking about some second-rate normal who happened to have a good game. That's exactly how your tone was.
If you had watched the show yesterday, you would have heard that I was very complimentary of Kevin De Bruyne and his performance.
I know you were.
Okay, so I like Kevin De Bruyne. I love me some Kevin De Bruyne. But the question was whether there was somebody else better, or said that whether there was somebody better than Ronaldo.
What about Pogba?
What about Pogba?
Well, he was fantastic in the World Cup 2 years ago.
All right, Steve, if you want to go down that path, go ahead.
Well, you were the one that kicked it off.
Let's go to Julien Laurent, shall we, to add his 2 pence to this. What's your tone, Jules? What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Be careful with your tone.
No, I mean, there's a lot of great players that I would have with Kevin De Bruyne in my team, but you have to say that when you play him in that position... I mean, actually, what's his best position? Because the game that he had as a second striker or force number 9 this season, in the first leg of the League Cup against United, he was exceptional. In the league game against Arsenal, albeit being Arsenal, he was exceptional at the Emirates. Last night, he was exceptional again. But he's also a great box-to-box midfielder. He can play wide. You can play him as a number 10 if you want, behind one striker, two strikers. I think you'd probably even play as a number 6 because he's that intelligent and he's got so much energy and so much ability on the ball that he's that type of player that one of the top 5 best players in the world right now, without a doubt.
He, of course, set up Gabriel Jesus. Obviously a debate that we've had previously on the show as to whether or not Jesus is the heir apparent to Kun Aguero.
No, he's not. And I'm going to watch my tone when I say that. But no, he's not.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. Use any tone you like because I agree with you.
Scored a big-time goal, though, yesterday.
Missed a couple as well. Here's the thing. The job that Gabriel Jesus did yesterday, Kun Aguero would not have done. for Manchester City. But the reason that Kun Agüero doesn't do that job is because he doesn't have to in order to stay on the field. Any other person outside of Pep Guardiola would have put Kun Agüero out there and play him as a center striker because he is your best striker. Now, Guardiola took a risk, took a chance, tactical approach. It worked for him, and nobody's going to criticize that and say anything other than, look, Gabriel Jesus did a job, mm-hmm. and what a wonderful job it was. But this is not what your best out-and-out striker should be doing. You do it because he can do it for you, and he will sacrifice himself to be out on the field. Simple as that. You don't ask Lewandowski to do that. You don't ask Kun Agüero to do that. You don't ask Lionel Messi to do that. You don't ask the special players to do that job. You ask guys like me to do that job. All right? Guys that are not going to give you the very best and the very best production up top, mm-hmm. but can do another job in and around the field.
And some will argue that, well, hold on a second, he scored an important goal, but you know what? How long have we been waiting for this guy to do that? We've been waiting a long time. And because he does it once, isn't the time to start, well.
Is that harsh, though? He's done it for Brazil, obviously, of course, as well.
Has he? I can't remember.
Of course.
What goals are we talking about here?
He's scored.
What big goals are we talking about? Dan, there's a reason why he comes off the bench. Now, again, you could argue that we're all going to play Aguero, but the truth is, he's had his chance. He's had a lot of chances to solidify his spot in that City team, and he hasn't taken it yet.
Jules, where do you stand on Jesus?
I think his time will come, but you have to agree that right now Kun Agüero is a better player. He's a better finisher. He's a better striker. Yes, Kun couldn't have done the job, like Ali said, that Gabriel Jesus did on Wednesday night, for sure, and that's why he didn't play, that's why Jesus played. It's as simple as that. But had Pep decided to play his best team in a normal way, if you want, in the 4-3-3 formation, for example, there's no doubt that Agüero would have started that game and not Jesus. But I think his time will come. He will still need to improve. He still has a lot to understand about his game. He has to be a better finisher, more clinical, because he still misses a lot of chances. But right now, you can't say that Jesus is better than Agüero.
Meanwhile, Stevie, I have to tell you, we've had a lot of correspondence about Sergio Ramos, of course, getting sent off yesterday. That is 26th red card. Incredibly as well, 262 yellow cards as well in his career.
I'm saying nothing. Just look at the statistics.
But obviously, alongside those statistics, you can put World Cup, European Championship, Champions League winner, captain of Real Madrid, three times in a row.
He's a absolutely a legend at Real Madrid, and he has all those trophies, but
they're going to appeal the red card, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, well. Good luck.
What's Real Madrid? They've got a chance, isn't it? But the truth, honestly, and I've said this argument 1,000 times, but I'm going to say it again because it's 100% valid. You name me another so-called world-class defender who has 262 yellows in their career and 26 red cards. There won't be anybody even remotely close to that. That's not the sign of a good defender, Dan.
But look at his resume, Stevie, against
your defenders
that,
have to be cool, calm, collected, and make good decisions.
But obviously he is a good defender.
262 yellows and 26 red cards doesn't back up cool, calm, and a good decision maker. Yes, the guy has scored important goals in important times. Yes, the guy's a warrior. Listen, if I'm going to battle tomorrow, I would love to have Ramos sat next to me.
Right. So then that doesn't matter then?
Well, when we're talking about a world-class footballer defender, that does matter when you've got those statistics against you. 100%.
I am torn about Sergio Ramos, because you cannot deny the things that he has achieved individually and with the teams that he has played for. It's impossible to ignore that. But we're to the point now with Sergio Ramos that he gets a red card in this big moment, and you're not surprised. You're almost expecting it. You're almost surprised more if he walks off the field and nothing crazy has happened. Nothing that is borderline. Nothing that is a red card. Nothing that is questionable. And he has played in the game. And so, when you evaluate his career, I think the thing that you're going to remember the most is the big goals in those key moments, in those moments where Real Madrid needed something and he came up with it. You're not going to truly remember the 262 yellow cards. But when you go digging into his career, you're going to see numbers that you're going to be astonished by. And 26 red cards. It's a lot of red cards. It's a lot.
Overall, though, in our hypothetical world of wonder, yes, did he not take one for the team yesterday? Are Real Madrid still in it because he got himself sent off?
That's a tough one.
You're saying that he did like a Valverde.
I'm saying 2-1 going back to City is better than 3-1.
Well, I'm not so sure he meant to bring Jesus down. I think he automatically put his arm out because that's what he does.
Right.
I don't think he was consciously thinking, well, do I take him down or do I let him go? He just got himself in an awkward position and then, unfortunately, again, a bad decision. He's put his arm on Jesus' shoulder and with a motion, he just took it and he went down and he's got a penalty and a red card.
I agree with Stevie in the sense that this is not quite like Valverde did against Atletico Madrid, where he made a conscious decision and said, you know what, this is late, I have to take him down, and so on and so forth, and will advance because of my decision. I really do think that Sergio Ramos simply was trying to get back defensively, and the only way that he could do it was to try to pull Jesus back. If Jesus doesn't go down, then it's not a foul, then it's not a red card, and Sergio Ramos survives.
Let's take a look at how the bookies have things set then, going into that second leg in England. Manchester City 12-1 on Real Madrid, who of course for the moment without Sergio Ramos, 7-1. A masterstroke, the front page of L'Equipe, talking about Lyon's 1-0 victory over Juve. Meanwhile, Tutto Sport, this is not Juventus. Julian, what's the reaction been in France to bid back Juve and their performance?
Well, I think the front page of L'Equipe sums it up really well, is that Lyon almost played the perfect game. They were very good in the first half. They hit the ball and they scored that goal. They were clinical. And then they defended really well in the second half with less control of the ball, less control of the game, but still defensively as a team, the togetherness, the spirit was just perfect. And Juve had 14 shots, none on target, which I think for a big club like them is pretty pathetic. And I think the French were quite quick to sum it up in that way, is that they were actually never really threatening Lyon. Yes, maybe at the end there was a couple of dodgy decisions by the referee. Maybe one could have been a penalty. But apart from that, there was nothing much really to worry the Lyon defence or Anthony Lopez in goal. And yeah, the second leg would be far more difficult back in Turin. But Lyon, from what they showed on Wednesday night, could certainly believe that they could get another masterstroke and then maybe going through as well.
Just to emphasise the size of this achievement, Jules, this isn't first choice Lyon. They had a number of players missing.
Yes, of course, and probably the best one in Memphis Depay, who's had a long injury, Jeff Rennes-Adelaide as well, Raphael was also missing, and Kone, so the two fullbacks, and Dubois, the right wing-back on the night, just came back from injury. On the other side, it was Kone, who played as a left wing-back, who's usually a left winger. So Garcia had to tinker a little bit, but he found the right system in that three five two that really troubled Juve in the first half, with Oussem Aouar having a wonderful first half. And then defensively in the second half, they played a bit deeper, they were more compact, and they defended really well. And I think the idea would be very similar in the second leg in Turin, but certainly for a team that has been struggling in Ligue 1, especially at home, where they have a very, very average record this season, to come out and put out a performance like this, raising the game the way they did on Wednesday night, is pretty impressive.
Let's take a look at how the bookies have things set looking ahead to the second leg. Juve favourites 5-4 on. Lyon, meanwhile, evens to advance despite that 1-0 lead. Should we play the percentage game? Yeah, why not?
Oh.
Why not? What percent, Stevie? Juve to advance?
75%.
Oh, quite big then. Bigger than the bookies have it.
Lyon have been struggling for any sort of consistency for most of the season, right? And they turn around and put in a performance that surprised everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what are the chances of them doing it twice in a row? And the fact that they're away from home is the biggest problem. You know, had they put this performance in away from home in the first leg and were coming back home, then I would look at it slightly differently. But the fact that they're so inconsistent, I don't see how they can, particularly defensively, they can't perform two games in a trot like this. I just don't see it.
I have to dispute the headline of Tutto Sport and saying non è Juve. Yeah, no, this is Juve. It's what we have seen the whole year. There is nothing about the performance yesterday that is any different than most of the games that Juventus has played this year, where they're predictable and they're depending on a moment of greatness by Cristiano Ronaldo. And if it doesn't come from him, it doesn't come from anybody else.
Percentage?
Having said all that, 60-40.
60-40?
Mm-hmm.
Jules?
I'll go 80-20 for Juve.
Even Garcia said after the game last night. That's a bluff, isn't it?
No,
come on,
Jules. Even Garcia said Juve are much better than us. And at home, if you think about last season, for example, where they lost 2-0 at Atletico Madrid and then won 3-0 at home with the hat-trick of Ronaldo, this is a game that they should easily win at home because Lyon haven't been that good and I've been very inconsistent, like Stevie just said. So 80-20 is fair. But that still leaves 20% for Lyon to go through, so we still believe.
PSG TV as well, wouldn't it? Kicking in there. Hateling.
Barely believing, that's what that is.
More reflection on what happened and what went wrong for Juve on the latest edition of the Serie Awesome podcast. Be sure to check it out.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
It's, of course, a Clasico this weekend. For all of the questions that you need answered going into that big game at the Bernabeu, check out Graham Hunter and Sid Lowe's article over on the website. Just to remind how tight it is at the top of La Liga going into this game. 2 points separate the big two. Remember, it was goalless, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Goalless when they met at the Camp Nou. According to the bookies, tight, isn't it? Real Madrid just favourites because of the home advantage, but not much separates them. We'll be looking at this in more detail on tomorrow's show with Sid, Stevie and Craig. Ali, you won't be here, mm-hmm. So before you jet off, let's get your prediction for this.
That first meeting was 0-0 and was non-eventful.
Mm-hmm.
Very unlike a Clásico. We're going to see it again.
Yeah.
Non-eventful, similar game, in which they're not really going to try to hurt each other and they're just going to leave everything else in terms of what happens in La Liga when they meet other teams. The difference is going to remain at 2 points.
Stevie will give us his prediction tomorrow. Good luck sleeping tonight with that excitement. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. The reason I'm smiling is because I've just read the first one. I don't know what the answer is. Julian is here as well. Has Stevie been sticking to his diet?
No. No.
But you were telling me about your new routine.
Listen.
So you've
just got to work away with things and try and figure out the best way forward.
Okay. So the exercise is while playing Mario Kart.
Yes.
Yeah. On the exercise bike.
Yes.
3 minutes playing Mario Kart.
Well, if each game, each segment is 3 minutes.
Yeah, so you do like a Grand Prix.
So I do like a Grand Prix, so I'm playing and bashing it out at the same time.
Yep.
And in between that, I start and do some sit-ups.
Right.
Unfortunately, though, my gosh, I'm absolutely killing it. So I've just got to take
That's
it steady.
That's it. Perfect. And days you work, no drink.
Correct.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole cutting it out
and that's
completely
not
has not worked. that got blown by the doors.
And that starts today?
Yes.
All right.
And how is the form on the sit-ups?
Very easy. Put your feet up. I put my feet up on the bike.
Okay.
And just gently move forward. Because you've got to start slow.
Okay. So it's more of a neck up right now then.
Okay, Jules is here as well. As I mentioned, are Manchester United the favourites to win the Europa League?
I think they are amongst the favourites. I think Inter, for example, will be there as well if they can play on both the league and the Europa League as well. I think there will be other teams like Bayer Leverkusen and the German teams are looking really strong as well. But you have to say that United, if there's enough desire from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to play the Europa League at full strength and not just rotate between the league and the Europa League, but if he goes for it, I think they would certainly have a chance. Bruno Fernandes looked great tonight. It was only Club Brugge and they were down to 10 men after 20 minutes, but still I think Bruno Fernandes looked like an absolute amazing players so far for United, so they will have a chance for sure, and let's wait for the draw tomorrow to see who they will face as well in the next round.
Will Man City have any representatives in the Premier League Hall of Fame? We'll see. Premier League announcing today there will be a Hall of Fame. Yeah, look at the excitement here, Jules.
Well, you've got to be retired.
Yeah, like you're saying, the current team? Is that your...
You've got to be retired.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So, where were Man City when...
I know.
10, 15 years
Vincent
ago?
Vincent Kompany, I suppose you could argue.
Yeah. Yaya Toure.
Is definitely a candy. Yaya Toure, yeah.
Oh. Nah, I'm guessing... I'm going to say no.
No.
Wow.
Jules, who's the first name on the ballot? Not Manchester City, but overall, Premier League, Hall of Famer, who are you having number one?
Whoa. I think in a very objective way, I think Thierry Henry probably should be the number one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What? Really? What? God, you can't disagree with me. Yeah. Not just because he's French.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. On Digital Today, I had Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry joint talk.
Why couldn't you choose which one should be number one?
Because I couldn't separate them.
You've only got one vote.
No, no. There's two people getting inducted, so the two of them can get
in. No, but you have to choose one
first. There you
first.
Go. Thank you. I had Cantona third, by the way.
Okay, which one? A medal?
Still
Why were pundits celebrating Arsenal being back on the basis of one great half at home against Newcastle and being lucky not to lose at home against Everton, squeaking out a home draw to Olympiacos? Yeah, pundits.
I don't think we were celebrating, were we?
Honestly.
Listen, I can only speak for me, right? And I pointed out that I could see something a little different under Arteta.
Yes.
Did you forget his name? Did you forget his name?
I did, actually. That was all. I was being positive on what I saw that I thought had changed. So that's not celebrating.
No. From Shakalaka Boom Boom.
Aha. Mm.
When is Shaka coming back?
Well,
no
hey,
idea.
Hey,
no
idea. Good luck with that.
This is the longest carnival in the history of Trinidad and Tobago.
We haven't had any pictures or anything yet.
No. Everyone has been very well behaved.
You know, carnival is a 2-day celebration, right?
Yeah.
And Shaka makes it into 2 weeks somehow.
Of course. If there's one man who could do it.
Oh, yeah, well, yes, not surprised.
Why do referees continually insult the fans with reduced stoppage time? In the United-Bruges first half, there was 4.5-minute break between penalty call and goal scored, yet only 3 minutes of stoppage time. Yeah, Jules.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the math was not good tonight from the referees at United. They couldn't count properly. I don't know, usually they're pretty good at adding 30 seconds for a serve or a goal or whatever, and then the time from VAR as well, but I don't know, maybe the United game, they were not really on top of things, I guess.
Yeah.
Manchester United wins the game 5-0, which they don't do normally these days.
Huh? Yeah.
And this is what people are getting outraged about.
The VAR is life. I think this is one of those who just can't sleep because of VAR.
I don't know, but just let it.
How about the Bruges manager going to the fourth official saying, oi...
Yeah, that's enough.
Yes.
Jules, who's the most boring team to watch? Mm. Barcelona or Juventus?
Ooh. Whoa. Oh, you have to go for Juventus. At least Barca have Messi. And Messi, as we've said many times on the show, is just capable of some moment of pure magic. This Juve team, even with Ronaldo in, and even with Dybala in fairness, at least, for example, on Wednesday night against Juve, tried to do stuff. This was boring. They had no shot on target the whole game. It was just, I thought, pathetic at time against the Lyon side that has been struggling at home in the league, for example, in the French league, that is. So I will go for Juventus. That's an easy one.
Yeah,
Juventus. Easy.
That's it. All right, we are done. Thank you very much. Ali's off to Seattle, of course, this weekend for the MLS opener against Chicago Fire. We, meanwhile, will be back tomorrow to look ahead to lots of games, Stephen.
Brilliant.
Classico, you know it and you love
Classico,
it.
Classico, Juventus Inter, Carabao Cup Final, the whole shebang.
Amazing.
It's going to be a busy old weekend. Be sure to join us tomorrow.